I'm Laura Vinroot Poole of Capital, and this is What We Wore. Jennifer Meyer is a Los Angeles-based jewelry designer who dared to step into her longtime dream with no experience. I hope you're inspired by the way she moves through life and business with little fear. Jen, I don't know that you know this or remember it, but I have met you before, but you were a little girl. When I talked to Mickey Drexler, that's how I knew Mickey was from Dick Friedman. But Alex is my longtime best friend, sometime boyfriend from high school. And I think I met y'all on the vineyard, you and your mom and dad.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but you were like a little girl.
I love that. I love that. Well, nice to meet you again.
Well, yes, as adults, for sure.
Yeah.
But you're not from the vineyard. Did you grow up in LA?
Born and raised, yeah.
What are your favorite memories of growing up in LA?
You know, I grew up in Malibu, and my backyard was the beach. So, and Malibu at the time when I grew up was just like a cute little beach town. You know, there was like very few restaurants. You couldn't really go shopping. You know, I love LA. I'm an LA girl through and through, born and raised, but I just loved that freedom, just being on the beach and being like, you know, carefree. And I don't think I wore makeup or anything until I was in my 20s, you know, like there was just, you didn't think about things like that.
When did you realize that your family was a part of the entertainment industry or that it was a thing? You know, like, did you know what your dad did?
I did know what my dad did because I was around it. You know, his clients were his best friends.
Yeah.
So that whole world, I mean, I didn't know. It just was like my dad had a job. You know, he was an agent, but I have a lot of memories and a lot of stories of being a little girl and growing up in that world. And it was sort of their world. It wasn't necessarily our world, but yeah, you just sort of know that you're in a different, you're experiencing some cool things is all I thought.
Were there some early fashion memories within that? Like, did you see things or jewelry memories even?
I remember being around 12 years old, backstage at a Madonna concert in her dressing room and thinking, oh, wait, this is crazy. This is so super cool. I have no words. And I was looking at all of the costumes and the way she was dressed. And I was just like, oh yeah, this is amazing. You know, the jewelry, the clothing, the whole vibe.
What is your first fashion memory? Is there one that sticks out before that, like with your mother or grandmother?
Well, I guess there's two things in that. You know, my grandma was an amazing artist. She did a lot of enameling. So she had this tiny little amazing apartment that I just loved to be at. I loved, oh my God, my grandma was just my everything. And she used to design pieces of jewelry, but with her hands. And every piece she did by hand, she'd say, what do you want to make today? And I'd say, oh, a flower ring. And she'd be like, great. And then which colors do you want to use? And you put the colors in and then you put it in this tiny little oven and it cooks and it makes a piece. And she would do it with wire and color. And I loved it. And I loved sitting there and doing it with her. And that was my first sort of understanding of how much I loved jewelry and creating jewelry and watching it come to life. And then I think my mom was just always classic. And I love that about her. And it's still to this day, she is. She was always in the perfect pair of Warn and Levi's, that perfect white t-shirt that you can't find, and a great pair of sneakers or a boot or a heel, and always had her classic gold jewelry on her. And as I get older, I just appreciate it more and more because she really just knew what looked good, how to dress, and it was always classic.
And it was such a different time then. I mean, everybody looked so good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my mom was always leaving the house. Her hair was wet, no makeup on, just gorgeous and perfect. And I respect it now, big time.
Was it always jewelry for you? Like from working with your grandmother, did it that always feel important to you and something that meant more than clothes to you?
I always knew growing up, I wanted to be in the fashion world in some way, but I didn't really understand what that meant. You know, it was before the internet, it's before Instagram. Like, it's just a thought in your head. So I loved magazines. I loved like sitting on my bed and page to page to page and just like combing through all of it. So I always had a thing for it. And I think jewelry was always my secret passion, but I went to school for child and family psychology. I didn't know what I was doing. I got out of school. I worked for Glamour Magazine and then Giorgio Armani. And then I worked for Ralph Lauren. And it was sort of when I was at Ralph Lauren that my ex-husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, said to me, what do you really want to do? Like, what's your passion? And I said, I don't know. And he said, that's not true. He said, every single person has something in their head and we're too scared to say it because we think, how would I ever do that? I'm not good enough. I wouldn't know how to figure that out. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. Like, we have this narrative in our head that keeps us from talking about our dreams. And I said, well, I don't know. And he said, no, that's not true. He goes, do you want to be an actress? Do you want to be a writer? Do you want to be a doctor? Do you want to work for NASA? Like, what is it? And I said, I want to be a jewelry designer. He said, well, that doesn't seem too hard. And I said, but it is. I don't know how to do it. And he said, there's like a Star Wars quote. And he said, do or do not, there is no try.
And were you like, thanks a lot? Or were you like, thanks a lot.
Both. I was both. You know, I was both. But I think I was like, okay. And I felt a little stuck in that moment. Like, oh shit, I better try this. And I did. And I mean, that's a whole other story, but I did. And here we are.
And Jen, at that point, like while you were at Glamour and while you were at Ralph, did jewelry stick out or were there moments where you felt like really not finding the things I want or I wish Ralph would do this? It would be make everything so much more meaningful.
Could you imagine? Hey, Ralph, you're really missing something here.
I've got some tips for you.
You know, I was so lucky to work for Mr. Armani and for Ralph Lauren. And they were both personally amazing to me. And just watching how they worked was incredible. I mean, I remember my first meeting with Ralph Lauren and David Lauren, his son, and I was sitting in their offices in New York City. And I was like, damn, this is goals. This is the real deal. And they were kind and they were sweet and they wanted to know my ideas. And I was just like, this is like too good to be true. This is incredible. The jewelry always stood out for me. And in all of my jobs, I was always drawn to the jewelry. And I always thought that jewelry was so meaningful and so sentimental. I always say with women, if you look in your jewelry box or your drawer or whatever you have, and you see every piece, you know who gave it to you, what the occasion was, what the feeling was behind it, you know, or if you purchased it for yourself, what the moment was when you were like, you know what, I've really wanted this necklace for a long time. I'm just going to go for it. And it stays with you forever.
My mom just died a couple of months ago.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's awful. But it is so amazing how meaningful the jewelry that has been passed down from my grandmother and great-grandmother and from my sister and for me to get that jewelry box. And you're just like, wow. Yeah.
Yes.
And you can feel it. You can really feel it. Maria Lynn always says that stones carry spirit, you know, that there really is a lot in there and you can get bad ones and you can get good ones. But I can really feel my family in these things that my mom left for us.
Yeah, I love that.
Did you have to start from square one? Like, I mean, other than the enamel with your grandmother.
Square one.
When you started, was it sort of as a hobby on the side or you went full on into it from the start?
No, I was still working for Ralph Lauren and I worked directly for a woman named Rebecca McCabe, who now runs Chanel. She's incredible. And I said to her, you know, this is like, I try and tell everyone that I speak to or work with or that wants advice, you know, transparency is key. And when you're transparent, people really want to support you. And I said to Rebecca, I was like, listen, I really want to try designing jewelry and see where it goes. And she's like, okay, that's amazing. We don't want to lose you. And I was like, thank you so much. And she said, let's figure out how to balance it. And so I started consulting for them, which was amazing, but I still did all the celebrity dressing. I mean, it was consulting, but still working full time and designing my jewelry on the side. And when you ask me if I started from square one, I mean, is there something that's like less than square one? Because I had no clue. I went and the first thing I did was started taking beading courses. And I was beading and learning how to bead. And I was like, oh yeah, this isn't for me. Like, I'm not a good beater. And then I started going downtown to Culver City, to Beverly Hills. If it said jeweler on the door, I walked in, I had an idea for a leaf. And I walked in and I said, hey, I've got this idea. Almost everyone turned me down, but a few people said yes. And I had a very small amount of money that I had saved for a really long time to do this to try and design these pieces to just see if I knew, if I liked what I was doing. So they were like, we need to make a mold. I'm like, what's a mold? You know, like I didn't know anything. I didn't know there was a price of gold. I didn't know about diamonds. I didn't know anything about anything. So one person would charge me, you know, $50 for a mold. The next one would charge me $200. So I was literally like understanding every single little step. And one piece would cost this much, the other would cost that. And it took me a while to figure out, trial and error. And again, a very small amount of money to do it, very, very small. I sort of figured like, what better to blow your money on than a dream if it doesn't work? But if it works, it could be really successful. Let's see. I have no idea.
And what's the worst that could happen? I think that's what I tell people when they ask about starting a business. Yeah. Like, really, what is the worst? I mean, it could not work, but like, how far are you in that it's not working? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Listen, you got to be smart in life. Any which way you cut it, right? You can't like blow your kids' lunch money on something. So you gotta be thoughtful, but that's how it started.
And then from there, where? Like, were you showing them to friends or what were you doing?
Yeah, I was showing it to friends.
And was the feedback hard?
You know, it's sort of like people, this is cute. I love this. This is really nice. You know, very sweet. But I showed it to everyone just to see what people liked. And randomly, one day, I was at Ralph Lauren and I was pulling clothing with the costume designers for the breakup for Jennifer Aniston. And I had my jewelry with me, like three pieces. And I showed them because I was like, I'm just would love your opinion on this. Like, these are like little samples. Like, do you guys think these are cute or not? Obviously, I'm not showing them for Jen Aniston. I'm just showing them because whatever. I want feedback. And they said, and this is, Jen and I had known each other, but this is before we were friends. Like, we didn't have each other's cell phone numbers or anything. Like, this is pure, like, showing these costume designers. They're like, we kind of like these. Like, can we show Jen with all the other clothes? And I was like, oh, I don't know. These are not like ready for that. And they were like, don't worry. She ends up picking her own stuff anyway. Like, this probably doesn't even work out. Just don't worry about it. I was like, okay, yeah, take them, whatever. But then the whole day was about Ralph Lauren clothing. 3 weeks go by. I don't hear one thing. And I'm like, oh my God, they literally looked at these pieces. They threw them in the trash. Every insecurity I have like went out. Like, I didn't even want to call and check in because I was so embarrassed and mortified. Yeah. And like, forget it. I don't even want to know. And then I got a call from the breakup 3.5 weeks in saying, hey, we need three of each of these. And I was like, okay, for what? Oh. And they were like, well, we like them, whatever. Da, da, da. And I was like, listen, those are my only ones. You need to send them back to me because I need to like have those samples.
You need the molds
to make them. And they were like, what are you talking about? Like, we don't have time for that. I was like, I'm going to make it so fast. I'm going to turn it around. Like, please, please. I sent it back. They were like, we need an invoice. At that point, like, I had never even like done an invoice. I was like working on Word. And right. I think I charged them like less than cost because I was like, right. Didn't know what I was doing. And simultaneously, all I cared about was being in Barney's. That was like right. The Mecca. right? And I had no connections. I didn't know anybody there. And I started asking everyone, do you know anyone at Barney's? Do you know anyone who works at Barney's? Do you know anyone who works at Barney's? And a girlfriend of mine randomly said, I do. I know this girl, Julie Gilhart. You should look at her stuff. Now, thank God there was no internet like that. I didn't know who Julie Gilhart was. I had an appointment with her when she came to LA. I brought all my pieces in Ziploc baggies so they wouldn't tangle, like so amateur. And she called me after she saw it and she was like, we love it. We want to try it. We're going to put in an order. I was like, oh, okay. Amazing. So Barney's put in a small order. I remember going in and seeing my jewelry. And they had made like a Jennifer Meyer name plate thing. Like, so like she, the whatever shows everybody's names. And I, that was the thing that like concerned me the most. I was like, oh my God, this better do well. Cause they invested in like getting that made for me.
Like 30 pieces.
No. It was like 10.
You had to have it made and you were oh hell.
Oh God. Oh yeah. Oh my God, I was shipping on the floor of my living room and figuring out the terms and FedEx. I didn't know what
right,
I was doing.
Right.
And at the same time it goes into Barney's, the breakup comes out. And it was the perfect storm. And it was like leaf mania. I don't even know how many thousands of leaves we sold. Thank you, Jennifer Aniston. I still thank her. And it really was like that moment for my company. And it was a beautiful moment. Now, what you realize very quickly after is you still have to design things that people love. Because if you're a one-hit wonder, then that's it. Your company's done. You got one thing, people love it, they buy it, and then that's all. So that's when the real work comes in.
And at that point, are you still with Ralph?
I am just about leaving Ralph, you know, kind of. Yeah.
And that must have been really scary.
Yeah, it was. But they were so sweet and supportive. And I still have such a great relationship with them. And, you know, Rebecca really supported me through that first journey of like, no, we still want you to work for us and go do your jewelry. It's fine. It doesn't like cross over.
Once the leaves were sold, was there a moment when you felt like you were going to be successful, that this was going to work?
No, I'm still working to be successful. I'm still every day like, you know.
What am I doing?
Yeah.
Me too.
No, I've never had that moment of like, okay, great, I'm successful. It's like, okay, that was a success. What's next?
When did you get involved with the Vogue Fashion Fund?
You know, I started very slowly with my jewelry. It was going great, but I had two little kids at the time, and I was going really slow. And then I think probably around 12 years ago with the CFDA, Vogue Fashion Fund, I sort of was like, okay, either I'm gonna really work hard and like create this business in the way that like I can see it, or I'm gonna figure out something else, because like I gotta go all in right now. Like I gotta really like, really give it my all. And at the same time, the Vogue Fashion Fund had asked me to apply, which was amazing. There was a girl named Meredith Melling who now owns Laleen.
We just had her on the podcast.
Oh, I love Meredith. And she,
she's awesome.
She encouraged me and said, just apply. And I think there was like, you know, 150 applicants or 250, some crazy amount. You go down to 50 and then you're in top 10. And it was, you know, you do, there's three of us who win the prize. And it was me, Tabitha Simmons, and Greg Chait from Elder Statesman.
Oh, wow.
And it was awesome. And winning was great, but it was such a great group of people anyway.
Yeah.
It was like Wes Gordon was in my year, who's obviously a superstar, and Andrea Lieberman from ALC. I mean, great, great people. Winning that catapulted me in a different way, because at that moment, you know, Anna Wintour is replying to your emails, and DVF became my mentor, and you get a mentor for a year. And I remember at the end of the year, I was like, wait, what am I going to do without you? And she's like, honey, I'm going to be your mentor forever. I was like, oh,
Oh, that's so awesome. Well, and that must have been so helpful. I mean, I think from what I understand, the mentor part is really life-changing, right?
She's a life changer. DVF, I mean, there is no one like her. There is no one like her. On a personal level, on a professional level, she's really an angel. And I mean, just the other day I texted her and I said, I have a question for you. I could use like a little talking out. And she said, are you available? Call me right now.
Wow.
And I called her and I was like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm in Venice, Italy. I'm about to go to sleep, and stayed on the phone with me for 45 minutes. She's amazing, and sat there and like talked something out with me.
What's the most important lesson that you've learned from her?
I hope this comes out right, but she once said I was in a situation very early on with someone who worked for me. It wasn't working at all. And I was trying to figure out how to transition. And the money aspect was really difficult for me because she wasn't showing up and I was paying her and blah, blah. And she said, money will be the cheapest part of this. Just need to get rid of her slowly. And it was actually great advice in that moment, because it was sort of like, don't worry about the dollars in this particular moment. If you just transition in the best way possible, it will cost you a lot less in the end. That made sense to me.
I love that. My next question probably relates to her too. I mean, she must have been supportive as a working mother. How far into the business were you when you became a mother?
I started my business and had my daughter at the exact same time. It was like I was full on both at the same time. But, you know, I think her whole thing was like, your family always has to come first. And if everything is good at home and good with your family, and you feel like you're really giving the attention that your kids deserve, then you're going to be able to give your business a lot more time. You know, you're going to be able to work a lot harder when you just sort of keep things organized.
Was becoming a mother transformative for you?
I mean, you know, obviously, I could tell you all the things. It's still transformative. I have two teenagers right now.
And I'm like, oh my God, bless you.
I'm in it, you know, but it's the greatest job on the planet.
And what did it shift about the way you looked at your business?
It showed me how much I love to work. And it also showed me how much I love to be a mom. And I think that being a great mom also came with me having something that was important to me, that I loved going to work. I love showing up. I love, you know, creating. I love being a part of a team. I have the most amazing team. And having something for myself, not that it's my company, just something for myself, whatever that is, really made me a more present mom when I was with my kids. Obviously with my kids every day, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm sure they're proud of you too. Do they understand what you do?
They do understand what I do. I mean, but you know, they're teenagers. Their life revolves around them. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
But they get it, and they, you know, they are very sweet about my jewelry and they're awesome. And I mean, they're the best. I have the best time with them, you know, but we're also like going through teenage stuff. It's figuring it all out.
And then tell me about opening your first stores. What changed about the business when you did that? I always think that that really shifts things for people.
Oh, that was awesome. I mean, Rick Caruso came to me, explained to me the concept of the Palisades Village. I really didn't understand it because I had grown up over there and couldn't imagine what it could turn into. And so he convinced me when it was just a plot of dirt to open my first store. And I thought, okay, well, I've kind of always wanted a home base. I didn't know if it was going to, what I was going to do. The community there is so incredible, what he has built, that I'm so glad I did it. I love my store. It's like a little jewel box. And it really is like the home to all of my pieces and my stuff, you know, my lifestyle. So I love it. And it does shift the business. You know, people have a place to go, to try on, to feel it, to understand what you're about, how you present it all.
From working in fashion for so long, did you know how you wanted the store to feel I mean, did you have a, do you automatically know exactly how you wanted it to be?
I did. I, like I said, I always wanted it to be, I didn't want it to be too big. I wanted it to feel like you were walking into a little jewel box and that people were there to help and try on jewelry. Like I really, even though it's fine jewelry, I wanted it to have the vibe that like, try it on, like whatever, yeah. You know, not that like yeah. It's precious.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah. Like, cause when we were growing up, it, you know, it was almost like people had gloves on to take things out of the cases to show you, you're just like scared. And it does make it just a completely different thing, I think.
Totally.
You opened, I think, about the time that we did, right before the pandemic, which was great timing. What did you learn about yourself in the pandemic and about your business?
That people love jewelry. I mean, truly, like it was a really scary time at first. And we obviously had to make a lot of adjustments like off the bat and figure out like how we're going to carry all of this and what we're going to do. And it was a really scary time when it started, you know, started to shake out and we all got a little less scared and, you know, realizing like, okay, there's a way to live through this in a somewhat normal way. I was grateful that the store reopened and I was grateful that I was able to have the people that I care about work there again. And it was also the time we got lucky because we had launched online shortly before the pandemic. And because all the big stores were closed, there was no jewelry shopping. So it was really nice that people had a place to go and that they still wanted to invest in those pieces.
And what do you think about the industry now? It seems like it's changing a lot after that crazy boom during the pandemic.
Yeah.
The price of gold is crushing everybody.
Yeah.
What do you think is changing about it now? And how do you think the business will change as a result?
Yes, the price of gold is complicated. I think also as a jewelry designer, and I've talked to other jewelry designer friends about this, we can't change our prices based on the price of gold. So, you know, as a business owner, you end up taking the hit.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, which is, it is what it is. And, but your customers and your loyal following is more important than changing prices on people all the time. I mean, we'll see where it balances out, but it is, it's sort of, it's complicated right now. I think that there's a lot of designers out there. There's room for everybody, but it definitely, you know, my heart goes out to people where it gets complicated, you know, where you really have to spend a lot of money to keep your business open. And that gets tough, especially with these prices of gold.
What's the hardest thing about running your business?
The hardest part about running my business is, I guess I would say the thing that I care about the most and that pulls at my heartstrings or whatever is I really love my team and I really care about my team. And I'm also just like, you know, not an HR person, but there's stuff that happens and you just want to make sure that your team is happy and feels good and knows how grateful I am for them every day. But at the same time, you know, you're like running around and you're running a million miles an hour too. But I think that for me is just like, that's the most important thing that I think about on a daily basis is my team.
Well, and I think that you know, you start these businesses being in love with jewelry or clothes or whatever it is. And that's sort of, and it's just you. And then you don't see in the future that a growing business, actually you have a big team and it really, a lot of it is about managing the team, leading the team. I think that's why a lot of businesses fail, really.
The design part is a small piece of it.
Very.
And then there's so many other things, you know?
Have you had anybody in your team be transparent with you about their own dream, similar to when you shared yours with Ralph Lauren?
Something I really love and respect about my team is they are so committed to the company and the growth of the company and selling the pieces and seeing them on people, that it's just like the best feeling. And I've definitely had, I mean, I've had thousands of conversations with people over the years and I've had girls that have gone on to do so many different cool things. And listen, if anybody on my team or in my life, whatever, say, hey, I've got a dream. Can will you support me? I want to, whatever. It's like, live your life. We have one life.
I mean, I've been doing this 27 years, and I would say in my first, definitely the first 10 years, it was really hard when they came to me and said that, I want to open a store. And I'd be like, okay, mm-hmm. you know, or I want to be a designer. What, you know, and you'd have these really talented people and you invest in the team and you want them to stay. And I think for me, it took, I would say definitely till the second half of my career to be okay with it, not only okay with it, but excited for people to go on and pursue their things. But in the beginning, it's hard.
Whenever anybody's leaving you on any level,
yeah.
it always stings, right? But, you know, it's way easier to get left than have to fire someone. I'll tell you that. That is the worst. If I could choose one thing not to do in my company is to fire people.
Yeah, that's pretty awful. But you really don't seem like you ever get scared.
I have moments in life that feel like big shifts, but you know, another quote that I always love to say to my kids, and I saw it somewhere, worrying is like walking around with an umbrella waiting for it to rain. We don't do it. There's no point. And
definitely in LA.
Yeah. But in general, it's like, what are we going to do? You're going to worry every day and just hold an umbrella. Like it might rain. It's like no big deal. And we got to roll with the punches. Like things are going to get thrown at us. Things are going to happen. And we can either look at things like this is a disaster, or we can look at it like a math problem. There's always a solution. And I definitely have moments of like, oh, this is scary or this is a big deal. But within my company or life or whatever, like I don't have a lot of fear. I can get anxiety, but I don't have fear.
I read a great quote from you that you said, hard times make stronger people.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I pulled that from somewhere, but I believe that in life, period. You know, it's like, it's a Dolly Parton quote. It's like, you don't have the rainbow without the storm. And I really think that that's true.
What are some of the hardest things you've experienced?
Losing my grandma. That really killed me. That was a tough one. Oh, I don't know. You know, listen, it's hard starting a company and keeping it like
going.
Yeah, successful going. That's really, you know, that presents a lot of challenges. I think that going through a divorce is never easy. That was hard, but I'll say that was also became one of the best things I had ever gone through because my ex-husband's my best friend. So
yeah,
if you look at something as challenging, you think like, okay, like a lot's going to come from this, a lot's going to come from the other side. And like, listen, I lost my grandma right at the time that I was starting my company and having my daughter. And I kind of feel like her fairy godmother energy has sprinkled down on me with all of this.
What do you think she would say about what you've created?
Oh my God. See, I had created a couple pieces right before she passed away and she was dripping in anything I would give her. She would love it.
Have you ever done enamel, Jen? I mean, is that something that you would do and add to the collection for her?
You know, I've never done enamel yet because everything I do is in precious stones, but it's something that I keep thinking about. And when I do it, like, I'll be really hard on myself because she was such a genius. So I will want to do it perfectly for her, but I will do it one day.
You have all of her pieces?
Oh my God. I have I could pull one right now. I have so many.
What's next for you in the business?
Well, we just launched in the last year and a half our lifestyle. So we're doing perfume and hand and body cream and the roller ball and the candle. And I'm just obsessed with it. It's amazing. And it sort of reminds me of growing up in Malibu and that scent, that beach scent, it's delicious. So I was really excited about launching that. And I think it's just, I really love designing jewelry and it's just going to continue from here and keep on doing it.
Well, I do have one really important question. What did you wear to the prom?
So funny, because somebody said you were going to ask this and I was thinking about it. And there were two proms that I had. One, I wore, do you remember Product?
Yes, I do remember Product. I had two great dresses from them.
Okay, so I had a turquoise dress that I wore that I shortened. I shortened it. It was the fact that my mom, love you, mom, but the fact that she let me out of the house with how much I shortened this dress was absolutely crazy. And you know who helped sell it to me when I was a teenager was Jean Yang. She was a sales girl at Product. And, you know, now she's like a genius stylist.
Wow.
And then the other prom, I worked as a sales girl at a store called Tracy Ross, which at the time, oh my God, like the coolest store ever. And I was like, I don't know what to wear to prom. And Tracy was like, I have a very special dress. I will lend it to you, but I need it back the next day. And I was like, really? Yes. And she lent me an Hervé Légère dress. And that was
what
like
color?
Black. And that was before like that.
Before it was bought by Alan B. Schwartz.
It was nothing. You know, that was like, it was major. It was Hervé. Oh my God. I still remember that dress.
And what shoes and what hair and what jewels?
I don't think I had enough jewels on, that's for sure. On the Product dress, I had a bob and I wore that Clinique Blackberry lipstick.
Obviously.
So my lips were like purple. And I bought like wooden white platforms on Melrose. I mean, I thought I looked great. And now I look at the pictures, I'm like, oh, wow.
Mother.
Oh, God. And then with the black Hervé Légère dress, some awful platform, I'm sure. And my hair was like down and straight. I was really into blowing my hair straight. I was very excited about it.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
What We Wore is produced by Capital and Balto Creative Media. The original song, Someone So Enchanting, was composed and performed by Britt Drozda. Please follow us on Instagram at What We Wore Podcast for additional content and show updates. QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.